الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب وقال تعالى يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا صدق الله العظيم.
My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receivers, one Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala an, the illustrious Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was well known for his humility and for his simple way of life. There's a very famous incident that we may have heard before, that Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an, when passed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy engaged in some conversation with a person, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an, and he says, you know who I was talking to? It was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that this is your sahabi Abu Dharr. So I said that you know him so well. So Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that he is more famous amongst the people in the sky, that means the angels, than he is in amongst the people of the world. And the reason for this was, he recites Surah Ikhlas in abundance. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدْ. And he has humility in his life. So Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala was once asked by a person, أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفْضَلُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. Tell me, after Iman, which of the actions is most meritorious, virtuous? So he says, الصَّلَاةُ وَأَكْلُ الْخُبْسِ. Salat, namaz, and eating bread. In other words, eating food. This person looks at him, and the riwayat says, فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ كَالْمُتَعَجِّبِ. He was astonished. What are you talking about? Food. Salat, I can understand. وَأَكْلُ الْخُبْزِ, eating bread. So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala explains, he says, yes. لَوْلَ الْخُبْزُ مَا عُبِدَ اللَّهِ. Had it not been for the bread and the food that a person nourishes his body with, how will he gain the strength then to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Allah Rabbul Izzat? These bodies that we have require nourishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it necessary upon man to seek a livelihood. The Shariat of Islam is very balanced. It takes the middle path. Islam does not expect a person to denounce the world, to shun the world to such an extent that even the things that he requires, the basic necessities of life to be able to survive, that this person shuns all those things also. No, Islam does not encourage that. And the other extreme, that a person becomes so consumed in his love for the world that he becomes so attached, and that leads him to becoming negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no extremes. Sirat al-Mustaqim, the middle path. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted us not to beg, of course, unless it is out of necessity. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala would say, let not your du'as for seeking a livelihood, person is seeking rosy, he wants sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all have to make du'a to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Oh Allah, you provide for me halal, tayyib, rosy. And there are many du'as where a person asks Allah ta'ala for sustenance. But with this du'a that he makes, he has to go out and search for a livelihood. He has to make all the endeavors and attempts in acquiring a living, a livelihood. If he sits back, he becomes lazy, he makes no effort whatsoever, and he just relies on his dua. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, no, let not such du'as become an obstacle in your seeking a halal rosy. In other words, you need to go out as well. In the hadith of tawakkul, on reliance of Allah upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it requires much explanation on some other occasion on tawakkul. But the hadith talks about birds that flow out of their nest in the morning. تَغْدُو خِمَاسًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا. These birds come out, they leave the nest, they fly, and they search for the food which Allah provides for them. So they leave the nest with, on an empty stomach, and they come back full in the evening. So Allah has kept a system. When that person who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam begging, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him of what he possessed, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him purchase an axe, and he tells him, you go into the forest and you chop off wood, and I do not want to see you for the next 15 days. For the next 15 days, I do not want to see you. In other words, don't come and beg. Use that selling of the wood to support your family, whatever little you can afford. And exactly like that, after 15 days, this Sahabi came back. And he came back with a profit. And he had been sustaining his family, providing for them, and paying off whatever debts he had. A person who is carrying a bundle of firewood on his back, making an effort to sell that firewood and to earn a rosy, it is more better for him than stretching out his hands and begging from people. Because the hadith says, on the day of Qiyamah, a person who is a perpetual beggar, he makes no effort to seek a halal rosy, and he just lives on people's handouts, then such a person will come on the day of Qiyamah with no flesh on his body, on his face. They'll just be bones in this despicable manner. Of course, we have mentioned previously also, when a beggar has to beg from us, do not reproach him, do not scold him. If you have something to give him, give it to him. But don't chase him away. وَأَمَّا سَائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. That's another aspect. We are talking now about earning a livelihood. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ نَفْسًا لَنْ تَمُوتْ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا. Every single person will not pass away, he will not leave this world until and unless he does not receive in full his allotted rosy that Allah has decreed for him. In one hadith, exactly like how moth and death moves behind you, like that your rosy follows you. And therefore Rasulullah said, Allah, fattakullah. Behold, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ajmilu fi talab. And seek your rosy in a appropriate manner, in a good manner, in a halal manner. Talabu kasb al halal, faridatun ba'da al farida. Earning a halal, halal rosy, halal sustenance. That is a compulsion. It is a compulsory act after the other compulsory acts of Sharia. In one hadith, Rasulullah said, Man talab ad-dunya, whoever seeks the dunya, halalan, the halal, he seeks a halal provision, isti'afafan anil mas'ala, refraining from begging from people. He's seeking halal, number one. Number two, he does not want to beg. Number three, وَسَعْيًا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. He's making an effort to provide some food on the table for his family. Number four, وَتَعَطُّفًا عَلَىٰ جَارِهِ. And he is showing, he's earning halal to show kindness to even his neighbors. لَقِيَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَوَجْهُ مِثْلَ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Such a person who is seeking halal and in the manner which I have explained, he will meet Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah in such a condition that his face will be shining like the 14th full moon. And that's a sign that Allah is pleased with such a person. On the day of Qiyamah, when there will be just darkness prevailing, this person's face will be shining like the 14th full moon. And the contrary mentioned in the hadith, وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا حَلَالًا. Listen very carefully, brothers and elders. Whoever seeks dunya, Rasulullah says, not haram, halalan, halal dun, halal sustenance, but mukathiran, mufakhiran, mura'iyan. He wants to amass wealth. He is earning dunya and he is boasting and bragging. He is showing off. He is displaying signs of arrogance, superiority over others. Not talking about earning haram. He is earning halal rozi. But this is his qualities. These are his qualities. لَقِيَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَضْبَانِ. Such a person will meet Allah on the day of Qiyamah and Allah will be absolutely naraz and displeased with such a person. Therefore, we should make every endeavor to earn a livelihood. Not just that, Islam tells us, a halal livelihood. A halal livelihood. In one hadith it is mentioned, لا يدخل الجنة جسد غذي بالحرام. That body that has been nourished by haram shall never enter Jannah. يأتي على الناس زمان لا يبالي المرء ما أخذ منه أمن الحلال أم من الحرام. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned, a time will dawn over people. A time will come when a person will not bother what was his source of his livelihood. What was his income? How did he attain that rozi? How did he acquire his sustenance? Am min al-halal, am min al-haram. Whether it was from halal source or from haram source. So therefore, when we are doing our transactions, our business dealings, whether we are seeing our patients, whatever our profession may be, whatever is our profession, it's not only when we talk about halal earnings, it is restricted to a shop owner, a shopkeeper. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged the Muslim person to be honest in his dealings. He went past by the marketplace one day, and suddenly he places his hand in a bag of grain, some rice, some corn. He thrusts his hand inside and he notices that the bottom part of the sack was wet. The grains had gone bad. They were spoiled. They were not dry. They had become wet. He asked the owner of the shop, what has happened here? He said, last night, Ya Rasulullah, it rained. So these few grains that were on top were defected. They got damaged, they became wet. So I put them inside and I covered it up and I put the dry grains above. Do you know what answer Rasulullah gives him? Man ghashana falaysa minna. Whoever deceives us, whoever gives us dhokha, he is not of us. He can't claim to be an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If this is going to be our practice, where we are going to cheat people, deceive people, indulge in fraudulent dealings, when it comes to measuring and weighing, then we decrease that measure and weigh. When it comes to selling items, we sell stolen goods, knowing fully well that these are stolen items. Allah save us, hijacking of containers and getting our goods from the back door. We don't have to enlist all these type of malpractices that happens today. The different scams that are taking place. How are then we going to attract the non-believers towards the beauty of Islam? How did Islam spread in China? Those Sahaba who went to China, it is mentioned in the books of history, were all businessmen, they were traders. And because of their just dealings, their honest dealings, the manner in which they spoke even to the people who they dealt with, the akhlaq, it was a means of attracting those people towards Islam. And that is how Islam started in China and other places in the world. Hazrat Maulana Saad Sahab, Damat Barakatum of the Markazi Nizamuddin, he explains, he says, taqwa, the foundation of taqwa is halal rozi. You want to have taqwa in your life? Then you have to ensure that you are eating halal, your source of income is halal. He says that this body that we have, it has to be nourished with some food, some fuel. He gives an incident. He said, we were traveling and we stopped at a petrol station to fill in some petrol in the car. And there was a mistake, an error that took place. Instead of filling petrol, they filled diesel. The car refused to move, obviously. They tried. They made several attempts to make the car move. Then they realized what the error was. Hazrat Maulana Saad Sahab says that it could not even move a few meters, this car, because of this error. The wrong fuel was given. It could not move. He says, insan ke paas ye jism hai, ye machine hai. This machine that Allah has given us, if we nourish this machine with the wrong fuel, how are then we going to go towards the journey, towards the akhirah, then enter Jannat? And he gives the incident, the famous incident of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, that once his khadim brings some food for him and he partakes of this food. And then the khadim so nicely, happily explains to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala that, oh my master, you know, in the time of Jahiliyyah, before I embraced Islam, I was a fortune teller and I helped a person out, or I gave him some, I read his future, and we know that is haram. And after some time today, after I embrace Islam, several years later, this person comes and gives me the fee, because at that time he could not pay me. And with that money, I managed to make this dessert for you, or some food, and this is the food that I have given you. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala became so worried, so concerned, that he began to thrust his fingers into his mouth to try and vomit out the morsels of food that he had consumed. Somebody told him that drink glasses of water until finally the morsel of food came out. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu began to say, he said, even if my life had to go away by trying to take out this morsel of food, I would have done so. Because how can that body enter Jannat which is nourished by haram? Maulana Saad Sahab says, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi used to mention that this morsel of food is like the ocean we see. And the beautiful pearls and the beautiful corals and emeralds we see, that are the thoughts of man, the khiyalat. He says that according to the nourishment that our body receives, that will be the type of thoughts that cross our mind and cross our heart. If our food is haram, then our deeds will be evil. Our thoughts will be evil. We will move towards becoming slaves of our passion and nafs and desires. We will move towards zina. We will move towards evil practices.
If a person is nourished with halal, automatically he will move towards salat, dhikrullah, tilawat of the Quran. Allah says, Ya ayyuhar rusulu, kulu min at-tayyibati wa'amalu saliha. This injunction, primarily given to the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, and of course all the ummats, O rasuls, O messengers, kulu min at-tayyibat, eat that which is wholesome and halal. Wa'amalu saliha, and do righteous deeds. Ulama and mufassirin have explained, we don't have the time to go into the detail, that righteous and pious deeds, they are as a result of the halal food that we eat. The halal food that we consume. How often it has happened, respected brothers and elders, that we have consumed the rights of others. Yateen children in our care. We have usurped their wealth. How are we going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? Quran says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. That person who usurps the wealth of an orphan. You were the trustee, you were the guardian, the custodian of the child. That poor innocent yatim did not know what belonged to him or her. And you usurped that wealth. In reality, you are kindling the fire of Jahannam in your belly. There's a beautiful incident of a woman who came from Balkh. It's a very long incident, but just to curtail the incident, she had to leave her hometown with her yatim children, daughters. And the father had passed on and they had nothing to survive on. So she travels with her yatim children. She came from the Sayyid family. She was a descendant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she comes to a town, to a very elite area of this town, and she happens to knock on the door of a very wealthy Muslim person. And she explains her sorrowful condition to this person. He looks at her. And she says, I've got yatim daughters. I'm a Sayyid. I'm a descendant of Rasulullah. If you could just help me out tonight, please. He says, you're a Sayyid? What's the proof for this? You got any certificate? You've got any proof that you're a Sayyid? She says, how? I don't have any proof with me. I left everything and I came. I'm searching for something to eat. Some shelter for tonight for my yatim daughters. He says, sorry, you've got no proof you're a Sayyid. I cannot help you. She was then compelled to go to the opposite neighbor who was a Majusi, a fire worshipper. She gives this Majusi, a disbeliever, her pitiable story. She explains to him that she comes from the noble descent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was not a believer. He didn't believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he felt sorry for her. He entertains this woman with her yatim children. He calls his wife and his daughters to look after these yatim children and provided for them that comfort for that night. That same night, this Muslim wealthy person sees a dream. It's the day of Qiyamah. And now he sees a beautiful palace studded with pearls and emeralds. And written on the door there is that this palace is for a muwahid of my ummah, of the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one who believes in the oneness of Allah, who has got iman. It's his palace. So he's about to enter and he sees even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream sitting in that palace there. And Rasulullah tells him, no. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a muwahid. I believe only in Allah. I'm your ummati. Should this not belong to me then? Rasulullah says, give me proof that you're a muwahid. Give me some proof. Have you forgotten when a Sayyid from my family came to you last night begging for some food? You asked her for proof? Sorry, this does not belong to you. He wakes up. He's alarmed, terrified. He rushes over to the Majusi neighbor. He begs him, please send these people to me. I'll pay you any price you want. He says, I'm sorry. I cannot do so. Why? He says, last night I saw a dream in which I saw your beloved Muhammad the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your beloved messenger. And the beautiful palace, and gives the same description of this house.
And he says, come in, this belongs to you. Because you took care of people from my family, it so happened that Allah Ta'ala then blessed this man when he woke up. This Majusi fire worshipper, himself and his family embraced Islam at the hands of that woman and her children. And he brought Iman, and therefore Allah Ta'ala had given him this palace. So we usurp the wealth of orphans. We indulge in interest. The garments that we purchase is of haram. The hadith says that if you purchase a garment of 10 dirhams, and just one dirham was of haram, just one dirham, no salat will be accepted of yours as long as the garment is on you. One morsel of food, in one riwayat it is mentioned, 40 days ibadat not accepted. One morsel of haram. One morsel of haram food enters your belly, 40 days ibadat not accepted. A person's dua is no longer accepted. We have mentioned the hadith before of the traveler crying to Allah, وَمَطْعَمُوا حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُوا حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُوا حَرَامُ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامُ. Everything he was nourished with haram. فَأَنَّا يُسَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. How can such a person's dua be accepted? Your charities are not accepted. You got haram earnings. And the poor little madrasa, that masjid, some institution, organization, they come to you. And you are giving them haram. Allah does not accept that charity. Brothers, this is a very important masala. It's something that affects all of us, whether you're an alim, scholar, mufti, whether you're a sheikh, whether you're a lawyer, doctor, businessman, male, female, young, old, every person. We have to nourish our bodies with halal and tayyib rozi. Because this is now going to take us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah. There were so many other things that we wanted to discuss. But may Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah of earning halal and rozi. And we may nourish our families and our children and our friends with halal morsel. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.